It's got a death curse.
Soon, all of you will be like me. And then who will lock you up in a sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Based on characters by Deborah Hill and John Carpenter. When I read that, when I sat in this chair and I read that, I felt like I was home.
Run! Go home now! Before he kills us all, get out of here! Run! Do not turn around! Keep going home!
If I had to give my reading for this movie a headline, it would be all blood spray, no heartbeat. It's all the gore.
There's a big fella in our bathroom, and he's wearing a monster mask!
Oh, what the fuck does he want?
Who gives a shit? Call the cops!
His kills are vicious. Like, they're every movie, they're more vicious.
Loomis said he shot him multiple times in the chest.
I saw from 50 yards away, he crossed right here and then just disappeared.
That's Michael Myers. You know, that shit I buy, because that's Michael Myers. He's the king of the lurker, he's there, and then he's not.
He creeps, he kills, he goes home.
Michael Myers is on the loose. The cops don't think to maybe scope out his family home, where he's gone back to twice now.
We have watched your department fail tonight. This is Haddonfield. This is our town.
This movie was not made for us.
No.
This was made for the 20-somethings that are going to the movies now, and this is the kind of movie that they watch and they enjoy.
You want your mask? Come and get it! You want to fucking kill someone? Take me!
We have Halloween Kills tonight, and we're going to watch it for the first time on its debut and podcast about it.
This ends when Michael is dead. Michael Myers will be executed tonight, and it will not go without witness.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host of the Horror 101 podcast, bringing you our 115th show. This is coming at you October 31st, so allow me to begin by wishing you a happy Halloween. And speaking of Halloween, we were fortunate enough to convene on the same night that Halloween Kills was released. So for the second time ever, we are covering a film that nobody in the room has seen before. By the time you're hearing this, the film would have been out for a couple of weeks. As usual, we are going to spoil the hell out of this, so if you haven't seen it yet, you might want to hit pause right about here until you do. If you remember a couple years ago, we were not big fans of the 2018 Halloween. We were all hopeful that Halloween Kills would at least be better than that film. Let me tee this show up.
Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock.
So we're watching Halloween 3 tonight, right?
No, we've already covered that. We did that in our part 3 years.
Let's do it again.
Stop it!
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the fucking meat and potatoes. The brass, the top brass of what we're doing this evening, okay? Thanks to... what's the name of that streaming service?
Peacock. Fucking Peacock.
Peacock! There was a dual release for Halloween Kills. It's both at the theater, and Peacock released it early this morning. So guess who has it? We fucking have it. Nobody in this room has seen this movie.
Nope.
Okay?
Yeah.
We have Halloween Kills tonight.
You're preloading your hate. I can feel it already.
We have Halloween Kills tonight, and we're going to watch it for the first time on its debut and podcast about it tonight.
This has to be the first time we've watched a film where none of us have seen it.
Oh, shit.
No, to review.
Yes, we did. And that was... we did
Conjuring 2. And that was Conjuring of the Two, where we did both the films.
Yeah.
But I think the only other one, I think, was the remake of Maniac.
No, I was the one who turned you all into Maniac.
You weren't there for that one.
Yes, I was.
Okay, but you had seen it first.
I'd seen it because I bought a DVD of it.
Okay, we had seen it. That blows my theory, though. Anyway, Halloween Kills, we got it. We're doing it. Okay, now let's go through the Halloween timeline.
Giant capsule.
Okay. Must we?
Yes, let's.
Must we?
Before we start, let's just focus on how ridiculous this is getting.
You and I have just discussed it. I think this is the most fucked up horror series franchise.
It's been remade, sequels, remade again.
Bent on the sofa and raped. Yeah.
You know, every way, yes. Halloween 1 and 2 in the late 70s and early 80s, Laurie Strode, Michael Myers, genius. All one night.
Genius.
And I went on the record saying if they would have ended it at the end of Halloween 2, I would have been more satisfied. If we never had Halloween 4 through Infinity, I would have been more than satisfied.
So, in fairness, I've only seen 4 Halloween movies. I've seen the first two, Season of the Witch, and the one we saw in theaters.
You've never rented it. Part 4 and 5 that had Danielle Harris?
Nope.
You've never seen part... So you've never seen Donald Pleasance coming back to reprise his role to battle him 3 times?
Nope.
Part 6?
Well,
you too?
I've only seen the first two in Season of the Witch. I haven't watched any of the others, aside from the last...
The one that
Halloween, and then
you guys need Horror 101. Halloween 4, Return of Michael Myers. This was Mustafa Akkad, God bless his soul, is no longer with us, saying, "Okay, we need to bring." He saw how Jason Voorhees and Hellraiser and Nightmare on Elm Street, they were all pumping out these sequels because everybody loved those characters, and he knew that the fans loved Michael Myers. So they're like, "Okay, well, what do we do? We got to bring him back." So he didn't die at the end of part 2, neither did Loomis. We're just going to say that they were burned, and that's the end of it, and we're going to continue. They wrote out Jamie Lee Curtis. They focused on Danielle Harris, who was her daughter, who's now adopted because they wrote out Jamie Lee Curtis saying she died in a car accident. So that was 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
Part 7, which is H2O, all of a sudden, Laurie Strode's back in it, but she's no longer Laurie Strode, faked her death. Her fucking brother finds her after 20 years.
Is this a soap opera?
Okay, it gets...
Oh, it gets better.
That's not the worst. A couple years later, we got Resurrection, where Michael Myers, at the beginning of the film, actually kills Laurie Strode because she's loopy. So fast forward a few more years, now we got Rob Zombie's remake of Halloween,
which where he remakes the first
one. Where they write in Malcolm McDowell to play Loomis.
That's right.
Where they don't like that version.
No, because
Malcolm
McDowell plays a Loomis that's a piece of fucking shit.
He's vile, he's aggressive, he's angry.
He is a narcissistic, awful, opportunistic piece of fucking shit. That's what they turned Loomis into.
And if I can just interject, the worst thing that they do in those Rob Zombie films is they give an explanation as to why Michael Myers is the way he is.
Oh, yeah.
And that should never fucking happen.
And he should just be staring at that wall. That should be it.
Everybody scripted in a Rob Zombie film always talks like they're fucking grade 3 and they're in the playground and they know that they can swear. Without getting in trouble. That's how he writes everybody in his fucking movies. Well, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And then
Tom McFarlane writes.
And then
too,
somehow he got a chance to make Halloween 2, which was a sequel to that remake, which was just as bad, if not worse, with the whole white horse shit. I don't even want to talk about it. And then fast forward to 2018, where we all watched Halloween with Laurie Strode again coming back. Where Gordon David Green, or whatever the fuck his name is saying, hey, we're going to retcon everything, and we're going to put a fucking a hatchet right after part two, or excuse me, after part one, and say part two and everything else that just doesn't exist anymore. We're going to go right after part one, just watch that, and now we're going to expand on that story. Laurie Strode is, she's got PTSD, she's now Ellen Ripley, and she's got this family that you don't give a shit about, and Michael Myers is on the loose during a transfer. Here we go. Okay, is everybody, everybody got a drink? Everybody ready for this? We're going to do this? Nobody has seen this film. Nick, have you seen this film?
No.
Of course not, because nobody in this room has fucking seen this film. This is a first ever for Horror 101. It only took 10 years for this to happen. Brand new flick just came out today. We're going to cover it now.
Do it.
Now.
Do it anybody now.
We killed Michael.
My grandmother set the fire.
No one told you.
Told me what?
Michael Myers is alive.
A man couldn't have survived that fire.
Forty years ago, the boogeyman came for us. We are the survivors of Michael Myers.
Lori, what do?
We fight.
Mom. Our family.
We'll kill him.
We're gonna hunt him down and we're gonna put an end to this.
He is not going to stop killing until we stop him.
If you track Michael's victims, that's a straight line to Michael's childhood home.
Someone's in our house.
He is coming for me, but I'm coming for him.
Was one of the things that they played upon when they went to the flashback of the night of 78, where the cop sees him in the alley, says, "Hey, halt, I'm the cops," squeezes two shots at the guy, misses, and he just turns left into a chain link fence and disappears. That's Michael Myers. You know, that shit I buy, because that's Michael Myers. He's the king of the lurker, he's there, and then he's not. The cop, you know, they go back to the Myers house, and sure enough, the one guy's looking out the window, and he's like, "Oh, nothing happens in this town." Here comes Michael in, starts choking him. The other cop comes in, hey, and he's using the guy as Michael Myers is using the cop as a human shield. If they were going to erase the second film, then giving us flashbacks on the rest of the first movie and throwing in a little bit of Loomis there, which was...
That was awesome. I didn't even know that they were doing that. That was great. I didn't expect it. Despite what you said, I think it looked pretty decent. I really did. I think it looked decent. I think the accent was as close as you're going to get without actually having...
Donald Pleasance.
I think the music was amazing.
Yes. Yeah. I will say this.
At the beginning it was.
Actually, a couple times throughout, they upgraded it.
And to piggyback on what you just said, I will give it credit for the opening sequence.
Yeah.
The Halloween,
the pumpkins, and working through.
I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed that from the first movie.
Take some photos.
Yeah. I enjoyed that from the first movie where it was the pumpkin that was rotting with the orange text. Mm-hmm. Yep. And in this one, they had all the pumpkins that were on fire, and then they went into that one pumpkin that was like really spitting out the fire. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. My favorite scene of this film was watching in that original. What do they call it? I forget the Artemis 13, whatever the font is that John Carpenter always used. Based on characters by Deborah Hill and John Carpenter. When I read that, when I sat in this chair and I read that, I felt like I was home.
And I'll give him credit for that he put her first.
Isn't that sad that my favorite part of this film was sitting here watching a credit that reminded me that Deborah Hill and John Carpenter started this over 40 years ago, and here we are now. That was my favorite. When I sat here and watched it and read those two names, I felt for a moment, okay, I'm home. This is where I need to be. And then 10 minutes later,
slap back to Earth.
I was smacked out of my fucking stupor.
Yep.
And it only got worse from there.
Any of you know the story of the Haddonfield boogeyman? Too young to give a shit, too drunk to remember? 40 years ago, a madman escaped from a mental hospital. It was the night before Halloween, and three teenage girls were walking home from Haddonfield High. They had sightings of a ghost-like figure creeping right through our town. A man in a white mask. Before the night was over, three people would be murdered.
He comes up there and he tells a story. The entire audience is reacting like they don't know what's happened, what he's talking about. Nobody in that bar remembers what he's talking about from 41 years ago.
My name is Tommy Doyle, and I was that young boy. So please, join me in commemorating the victims and the survivors of Michael Myers.
But him being with Lindsay, the nurse somehow, yeah, and Lonnie just seemed kind of odd.
This is for you, Lori. Wherever you are.
To be entirely honest, the only character that I resonated with in the entire movie was Lori when she saw the fire trucks going towards her house. No! Let it burn!
Yeah.
There's someone else down here!
I mean, as shit as the first movie was, at least, like, they continued with the house burning down and, oh, let it burn, and the fire department going in and them falling into that pit, and of course he's behind a steel door that Ripley made for all her arms. Right, that's how he stopped.
That's new.
That's from the he stopped from burning to death, and the fire department got him out. And then I did like that shot of the water coming off of the burning building and him sitting there brandishing that axe. That was cool.
That looked good.
You know? Actually, his emergence from the hidden door was pretty good.
That was cool.
That was a good shot.
And everybody was complaining about him massacring firemen. Well, if the firemen were smarter...
I don't have a problem. I'm not... Sorry, I shouldn't say I don't have a problem with them massacre. I mean, obviously I have a problem with him killing anybody. But they were stupid. Why not swarm him?
Yes.
They've got all the tools, all the weapons, for all intents and purposes.
Saw to get through a door.
And they all have, like, fucking axes and stuff. Why one at a time?
Because they'd rather shoot him with water.
Kung Fu movie rules.
No wonder they wanted the fire men removed from the movie, because they all acted like fucking ridiculous idiots.
All men are useless.
Everybody.
This was gender neutral stupidity.
Mask.
Oh, what the fuck does he want?
Who gives a shit? Call the cops!
You know what? I actually had high hopes. After the cop scene, I'll give them the next two deaths as well. Because I actually had hope when he killed the elderly couple. Just to show you the level of the safe, how sadistic he'd become. When he kills her... with the light tube, wasn't it? The fluorescent lighting tube?
Yeah, that looked amazing. Well, she had a knife in her hand.
Yeah.
She saw him coming, made no move to defend herself or attempt to ward him off.
I actually liked that when her last moments was watching her husband stabbed repeatedly. And up until that point, I didn't know where the movie was going to go, but we got a sense of where the bar was. That actually probably is my favorite scene then, because up to that point, I still had hope for what was going to follow. That moment, I don't know, that was the only time I felt any real emotional weight attached to the death. And I thought it was a good setting of the stakes early on. I just wish they had the rest of the movie to bank on it.
Yeah.
But no, early, I thought that was a good sequence to set the bar.
Hey, what are you guys doing out here?
It's Halloween. We've been trick-or-treating. We got a whole bag of candy.
You guys should not be out here right now, okay? It's not safe.
You're going to kill me? No. Satan, not today.
Oh, I'm so scared.
Are you guys alone? Where are your parents?
No. No, we're waiting for our friend.
And, like, there's a creepy man in a white mask, and he keeps, like, trying to play hide-and-seek with us, and he's...
Where did you see him?
He's just hiding behind trees.
And he pops out like, peekaboo. I mean, we're not 3 years old. Come on, man.
Oh, look, there he is.
Oh, hello.
Michael.
So the nurse from the first movie, Tommy, Lindsay, and who? Lonnie Lamb comes back, you know, as the vigilante group, right? It's like the fucking Avengers of Michael Myers.
The nurse dies in the exact same way she was attacked in the first film. Mm-hmm.
Except she didn't have a gun in the first one.
She does. In the first one, but she dies in a car. After Michael Myers slams his hand through a window as she's sitting in a car with a doctor.
And again, more lip service when there's a slight pause and she's got him dead to rights with the gun. "This is for Dr. Loomis."
Oh my god. The dumbest line, that was the dumbest line in the film, right?
Click,
there.
Click, click, and then he proceeds to stab her to death. I'm like, fuck off.
That's the dumbest line in the film right there.
Shoot him, Marion!
Hey, Michael! This is for Dr. Loomis.
Yeah.
The whole encounter in that car with her blasting through every window with the gun
was ridiculous.
That
was
But it had eye trauma. It had eye trauma.
Twice.
Hey, a fairly decent eye trauma.
It did. I'll give it credit. It did. The gore is good, but it's not enough to save this the rest of the film.
The girl with the gun dressed up as the nurse.
That was funny as fuck.
But firing off shots as she's approaching the car, and then
he kicks the door wide open.
He kicks the door open, hits her hand with the gun, and she pops one in her own head.
That was funny, but it wasn't supposed to be funny. I wanted you to stop the film. I was laughing so much. Fucking moron standing like 3 feet in front of him. Can't fire a goddamn fucking
that girl who has a hand cannon who falls off the car, and yet next time we see her, she's like 30 feet from the car. And I'm like, you got out of the car to shoot him because he was attacking your friends, but apparently you wanted a short stroll, and then decided to come back moments later after he's killed both people. So she literally vanished for 2 minutes. And then comes back later after both people are dead to try and save the day and can't shoot where the damn.
Fuck this movie.
To be honest, I liked... Well, what's her name, though? After the car scene, the one that ran away, what was her name?
Lindsay,
yeah. Honestly, I felt like that was, like, about as close as we got to, like, suspense in that movie.
Where he's on the...
Where he was chasing and she went to hide and that, like, when she's standing there and you think that, like... Honestly, that's kind of what I go to these... Like, it's what I like these movies for.
That's actually the closest Michael Myers was to Michael
Myers. Yeah, like, the predatory aspect of it. Yeah, like, that was about as close to classic Michael Myers as we got in this movie. And I just remember being like... Because for a brief moment, I'm like, is he going to pretend to walk away? And, like, you know, do his...
I even said it, like, this is the scene where he's going to be standing on the middle of the bridge. He's going to...
Turn and look, like, yeah, like, I was... Right? Yeah, like, that was me... That was about as hopeful as I got. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen here after that whole stupid door shooting herself in the fucking face thing? The fuck was that?
That's my favorite fucking scene.
That was my favorite comic relief in the whole goddamn movie. But yeah, that was my favorite.
And she's a doctor.
I know. Not anymore. But yeah, no, that was my favorite actual scene because I was about as close to classic Halloween as I got in this entire fucking movie.
Yep. Yeah, I'll have to give it.
Like, she was being stalked. She was terrified. We felt it. Like, we were like, did he hear her breathing? You know, like, that was about as suspenseful as I got in this fucking movie. And then
that was classic horror film.
Yeah, like that stuff. There. That felt like a Michael Myers moment. Like the rest of the movie was just. Too disjointed. I just didn't.
Great sound work with him crossing the bridge too.
Yeah, that like that. Stuff. That's yes.
Yeah, that's classic. Like these are not creaking, like, elements.
These are not supposed to be like cacophonous, crazy, lots of shit going on, frenetic, you know, massive kill fest movies. Like he's a fucking shark.
Yes,
no, that was good stuff.
Tommy,
you can't go in there, Tommy.
Lori,
Tommy,
he killed Marion and he attacked Lindsay too.
What? Karen!
We didn't know for sure. I didn't know what to tell you.
We had him. How did he escape?
I don't know. I don't know.
What do? We don't have the police support.
We fight. We always fight. Go find him, Tommy!
We got the heroic ripping of the IV out of the arm, which I was waiting for, and then she went back to bed.
Yeah. After kneeing somebody in the groin, she pulled her staples.
She popped her staples, and then, yeah. So, if anything, that was probably one of the most accurate parts of the
movie. She could have been left unconscious after her surgery for the rest of the movie. It would have changed nothing in this movie.
Correct.
All right, everybody, calm down. The sheriff's department has
this. No, sheriff, we will not calm down. We have watched your department fail. Fail tonight. This is Haddonfield. This is our town.
He killed my daughter 40 years ago. It desecrated her body.
Well, he's not Sheriff Brackett anymore. He's Security Guard Brackett.
Security Guard Brackett.
Retired hearing aid
Brackett. He's put on a few pounds.
Why were there so many freaking people at the hospital?
Well, because that's what they say. They're starting the vigilantism.
And plus, the one lady showed up because she was specifically called to say her kid was there.
Yeah, one person had a reason to be there, but why would an angry mob show up to a hospital?
I don't
because
know.
Because reasons.
Reasons.
It makes no sense.
No shit. Neither does this entire movie.
I don't know. There's a huge angry mob in the emergency room. I don't know. Why are they there?
Listen, folks. Listen. Folks, please. The boogeyman is at large. He's got no choice but to emerge. He is an apex predator. When he surfaces, there will be no pause. There will be no empathy. This ends when Michael is dead. Michael Myers will be executed tonight, and it will not go without witness. Evil dies tonight.
And if I had to hear one more fucker in this movie say, evil dies tonight.
What a stupid
Jesus but Christ.
It doesn't.
Evil dies tonight. God damn it, Brackett. I am the law. Evil dies tonight.
Paul B, rather red in the face over there. I love it when you're all spirited.
What's the witch movie?
Superstition.
I would watch that repeatedly.
Press play, Andrew.
Yeah, come on, Brian Stewart. Press play. Play now.
Double header.
Who is it? Laurie's daughter got knocked down by the doctor.
All the way up the stairs. And then everybody else started tumbling.
These doctors are horrible.
Well, she's trying to stop people from pursuing
the crazy guy.
The crazy guy that's on the loose in the hospital.
And one of the doctors knocks her down the stairs.
The guy's like 4'9". 300 pounds.
Helen's taller than he was.
Obviously, this ain't Michael Myers, but mob mentality rules. You know, the black cop with the cowboy hat can't do shit. Sheriff Brackett and his little pea shooter and all the mob's gonna chase this guy up. She's gonna lock him in between a corridor and try to stop everybody from lynching this guy, because obviously he's not a threat, but it don't matter. And they get in, but before they get to him, he throws himself out a fucking window. And while he's throwing himself out the window, I'm thinking to myself, am I supposed to fucking give a shit at this point? Who is this guy? What's his name?
Is it Escape
Method? I have no fucking clue. He could be locked up because he raped 30 kids. I don't know who he is.
Yep.
I don't know who he is. I don't know. He's an escaped mental patient who's throwing himself to his death because the mob's after him. Why should I care? I don't.
For the same high security facility as Michael Myers. He can be another Michael Myers. We don't know.
We don't know.
I kept thinking was, I envy that guy because his part in this movie's over and he doesn't have to watch this train wreck anymore.
He was pretzel.
Yeah.
He was hamburger.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, I liked all the gore in this movie. I know that's probably, like, that's the only thing that I really liked of the movie, but that death was actually pretty cool. Because it just, they didn't shy away. It just, like, sometimes you just see blood spatter or whatever, but you saw the blood.
They lingered for a little bit on that one, for sure.
Yeah, broken and twisted and
he
stuff.
He had a hole in his head.
Yeah. Yeah. It was done really
what
well.
Was left.
Yeah.
He went from Lori's compound to victims in her neighborhood to the park. Okay, if you track those locations, it's a straight line. Basically an arrow pointing straight to Lampkin Lane, Michael's childhood home. I came face to face with this asshole when I was a kid. He creeps, he kills, he goes home.
Michael Myers is on the loose. The cops don't think to maybe scope out his family home, where he's gone back to twice now. There not one cop car across the street, just in case?
Okay, so the key is we stick together.
No, I'm going in alone.
What?
Mr. Elam.
You fucking dummy. You brought your kid to the belly of the beast.
Dad, no.
Mr. Elam, with all due respect, you really expect me to sit here while you go inside and confront the man that killed my father?
No, I don't expect you to. But I'm asking, Allison, for your sake and my son's, okay? Just stay here. You see anything suspicious, you honk the horn, all right? But you stay safe, all right?
The timing is so moronic. The father walks through that doorway, it's 5 seconds later, we get a shot. Then, by the time they go in, and they go in immediately as soon as they hear that shot, what, 30 seconds? That's enough time for Michael to drag his lifeless corpse upstairs and stuff him in the attic door and then hide.
Yep.
How did he have the time to do all of that?
It's Michael Myers.
He's done it in other movies.
King of the Lurkers, man. New.
That's
King of the Lurkers.
I hate this movie.
That
was the thing. They go into the Myers house. They find the two gay guys that live there set up in that ritual that Paul B. absolutely hates with that old music playing. Okay, whatever. For some reason, she takes the knife out of the one corpse, and budget Adam Driver there goes looking for his dad, finds him hanging out of the crawl space, and here comes Michael down the hall. Apparently he's so fast he can't get a shot off before Michael's there. She hears the ruckus. She's got the shot-off shotgun. She goes to check it out. Michael's got time to dispatch him and then disarm her of her shotgun.
She approached him with the shotgun. Why don't you just shoot him through the doorway?
The only defense I can give you for that is that people are fucking stupid in horror movies. They've been stupid in horror movies for half a century at least now.
And this has been my complaint of horror films. You know this from day one. Horror 101, episode one, I think. I said, suspense should not come from character stupidity. That is the worst, cheapest form of horror suspense.
Kills are vicious. Like, they're every movie, they're more vicious. Like, did you not think they were super violent?
I knew that there was a high body count. I knew that it was gory.
I'm not talking about
bigger, body better, faster, count. More.
I'm talking about, like, just vicious.
Oh yeah, he was vicious. Certainly.
Oh my god, I don't.
And but that's nothing new for me because he was vicious in like 4, 5, 6.
Not this. I don't think this no. bad. I don't think he was this vicious. He was pretty brutal.
I just want to compare for a moment the final scenes in the house with the father, the son, and the girlfriend compared to Laurie's last moments in the house in part one. Part one, that is genuine terrifying suspense when she's in the closet with the freaking coat hanger as her only weapon.
She pokes him in the, yeah.
Genuine, gut-wrenching suspense. Mm-hmm. The closing moments of this film are just such a pale shadow in comparison. Kids, stay in the car. I'm going to go in alone because one shot dies off camera. Let's go, kids. No suspense. It is the most boring climactic moment with like this entire sequence is just nothing compared to the original. Side by side comparison, it fails so miserably.
The entire film cannot be compared to the original.
But you can't even give us one good suspenseful ending to this entire 2-hour shit show.
Nope.
Can't even get the closing moment right.
You want your mask? Come and get it! You want to fucking kill someone? Take me!
So the mob does get a hold of Michael Myers, but he's invincible, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, the mob gets a hold of Michael Myers, but they give him a couple of shots, and then they're like, yeah, we got you. And then they turn their back, apparently.
Why did the old guy with the gun just put a bullet in his head? It looked like he was planning on doing, but he never did.
Yeah.
No, but he had to get his line from Halloween, the original Halloween, in there to be all cool.
It's Halloween. Everyone's entitled to one good scare.
I could probably give it a pass if the veterans weren't there. Like, they didn't know any better. Fucking Tommy Doyle was there. Chief Brackett was there. So, continue. Yep. They know that he's not going to die.
Yep.
So, like I said, if it was just the other regular townspeople, I would probably give it a pass. They didn't know, okay, he's down. All these people, yeah, of course, we're done. We did it. No. Like, take his head off.
Yep.
Well, that's their chant. Evil gets an ass whooping. Not killed.
Not evil dies tonight. Evil gets beat
evil up gets slightly. An ass whipping. Oh, he's down. He might not be breathing. Oh, we won. Yeah, go take care of your mom. I'll take care of this.
But the worst part is Brackett was approaching with his stupid handgun, and we're waiting for him to put one in his fucking head, and he never...
Because he's 90 and can't move fast.
What the hell?
Except for Tiger King, he managed to get a couple rounds in him. The guy with the tiger outfit.
He hit him three or four times in the torso. He went down. Somebody stabbed him in the back, you know. Did anybody pull the... Is he still alive? Is it still breathing? No, we've got Tommy Doyle going, you get out of here and take care of your mom. We'll take care of this. Ooh.
Here's what I don't
understand. My bat. You see how I hold my bat like this? I'm so cool.
I always thought Michael Myers was flesh and blood, just like you and me. But a mortal man could not have survived what he's lived through. Transcends into something else impossible to defeat. Fear. People are afraid. That is the true curse of Michael.
Do we actually need the shots of Laurie in surgery at all?
We didn't need this whole movie.
There's a lot of...
Tell us all about it. Come on, man. How you really feel?
It didn't resolve anything. We're still the same position as we were before, except more people died.
Yeah,
they haven't resolved anything.
And like the only piece of exposition that really got added was her diatribe at the end of the movie when she's hopped up on painkillers, talking about situations that she in no way, shape, or form had any knowledge or information regarding.
Yes.
The more he kills, the more powerful he gets. How the fuck do you know? You just thought that he was coming to you in the hospital and thought that you caused this whole fucking thing.
And you thought he was dead. You thought you killed him.
Yeah. So you were wrong about a lot of shit. So yeah, we're going to believe you on that one.
Can somebody explain to me how the fuck Michael gets back into that house at the end of the film?
He's Michael Myers.
I know. Yes.
Super! Hashtag reasons.
I still think if he's on the loose and we know it's him on the loose, there should have been a cop car across the street from his house. That's just...
All the cops are in the hospital.
So, did Lindsay die? Yes. Found her.
No, she doesn't.
She's in the hospital.
She's in the hospital.
So, Tommy Doyle is dead.
Yes.
Sheriff Brackett is dead.
He's dead, yes. Yep.
Nurse fucking What's-Her-Face is dead.
Yep.
Nurse Marion, or whatever.
Marion, Marion is dead.
Do we give a shit?
No.
That's a shame.
No.
Isn't that a shame?
Fuck this movie!
You know, I gotta side with Chuck Connery on this one. It was written horribly. It was just like, who the fuck thought this was a good idea?
Sprinkled with little nuggets of shit from the original movie.
Sorry, Karen.
Thank you.
No one told you.
Told me what?
Michael Myers is alive.
What?
Unbelievable, Pants. I was hoping that this would be the Empire Strikes Back of the series, and it was Empire Strikes My Fucking Ass.
Oh, you were way wrong.
I think Nick hit the nail on the head. This is the Last Jedi of the trilogy. Yeah.
If I had to give my review for this movie a headline, it would be all blood spray, no heartbeat. And that's it. There's no story to this. It's all the gore.
This movie was not made for us.
No.
This was made for the 20-somethings that are going to the movies now. And this is the kind of movie that they watch and they enjoy. But they threw a couple little nuggets in for us old fogies that watched the original and grew up with it to try to make us feel like we're somehow involved in it.
Yeah, the franchise has moved on from where it began radically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from where it began, Halloween was a cold shiver up your spine compared to what it is now. But I like the sense of dread in the first one. This was never frightening. Not once was this a scary movie, because gore doesn't mean frightening. There was no sense of dread or suspense, and that stalking element, now that it's gone, doesn't make you feel like your hairs on your arm aren't standing on end. Instead, you're just waiting for, you know, 3, 2, 1, dead, 3, 2, 1, dead, and it's a slasher film. It went from a kind of creepy thriller to just mindless slasher.
Eugene giving this 8 out of 10? I'm going to have a serious conversation with that boy.
Yep, he needs a good talking to.
If you didn't know anything about Halloween going into this, then just for the gore alone, I could see somebody who was a gore hound enjoying this film. I could.
The only way we're going to stop this is if we all come together on this.
Yeah, goddamn right.
All
right.
All right.
Let's score this motherfucker. Nude, why don't you start, please?
3.
3 out of 10? Mm-hmm. Can you expand, please?
It's unfortunate. I mean, I really wanted to like it, but the only thing it had going for it was the gore. It made no sense. There was no point to this movie being made. They should have just waited, put the budget together for this one and the next one, and make, hopefully, a really good one that had some sort of plot, some sort of even character development. Like, there's nothing. And yeah, like I said, only thing I liked about it was the gore. I really wanted to like it.
Before we continue, thank you, Nude. Before we continue, are these the same people that are taking on The Exorcist?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
These are the same people that are taking on The Exorcist movies that are coming out. The $400 million Exorcist trilogy that's coming for you, pants. This is what you have to look forward to your favorite horror film. They're going to do it to Exorcist what they're doing to Halloween right now.
When they arrested Michael that night, I was telling my wife that my daughter was killed, so I wasn't there to put a bullet in his brain like we should have. This is no time for prudence.
Paul B., I want you to score this now.
1.
Oh.
1. This is offensively bad. Offensively bad. The 1978 sequence is the only good one. The original 1970, the first sequence when they go back the second time, not so much. The first one is the only good part of this film. I know we had our disagreement about him staging the bodies. I think they take it way too far. It's not really in character for what Michael Myers does. Characters' motivations are ridiculous. The plot points are silly. The acting is atrocious. It has this whole shoved in thing about vigilantism. It is awful. It is offensive for Halloween, for the franchise. It completely pisses on the legacy of the entire series. It is garbage. I disliked the last one, Halloween 2018, but I went back to watch it a second time to see if it still had that same feeling. I will not go back and watch this ever again. This movie was atrociously bad.
You know, when we were kids, we used to all dare each other to sneak into the old Myers house. Lonnie was the only one brave enough to do it.
I lied. I never made it inside.
Nick, you want to score this?
I'm going to give it a 4.
4?
Whoa.
Still a fail.
Yeah.
Christmas?
Expand.
Fucking generous.
Expand.
There were a few scenes or a few things that... There were individual moments in this that I thought were done well. The opening sequence, the walk out of the house, like some of the cinematography was okay. As far as the plot goes, yeah, like I said, it was a mess. It was basically you could tell they had specific kills or different ideas in mind, and they were just trying to find ways
to get there.
So it felt forced in a lot of ways. I didn't like the whole thing at the end. But yeah, I don't know. Just I had to think, and just instinctively, I just kind of went with 4. Like, will I ever watch this again? Fuck no.
Now he's turning us into monsters.
Brian Stewart, score this film.
I was gonna give it a 3, but I'm gonna give it a 2 because I'm docking for 2 things.
If you say the Christmas sweater, I'm walking out.
Definite wardrobe
issues. Wardrobe malfunctions.
I mean, the gore effects are good, fine, sure.
Yeah.
But there's no story. There's no character development. There's no plot. Nothing happens. Nothing. Yeah. We don't learn anything new. None of the characters move forward. The only thing that moves forward are the hands on the freaking clock, and that's it.
Yeah.
And it means nothing. And I think what pisses me off more, and why I'm docking at another mark lower than Helen's score, is their attempt to try and make it look like there's some kind of message. That pisses me off.
Yeah.
The fake social message of nothing. Absolute nothing. Vigilantism is bad. You know, group mentality is bad. That what? Who fuck? What? Why are you trying to shoehorn this in?
Yeah.
Their attempt to derive some sort of story to make it look like it's more than it is offensive to me.
Yeah. Honestly, most of the reason why I gave it a 4 is because of cinematography and some good kills.
Yeah.
There's
fuck off.
There are some good looking scenes. There is some great. There are some great moments. But it's only worth about a 2.
I mean, unless you've got a decent story or characters I give rat's ass about, who cares how good it looks?
It's Halloween night in Haddonfield. When terror's supposed to be fun. But the boogeyman is coming for me. And he's coming for you.
I'm going to give it a 1. Wow. And it's lucky to fucking get it.
Yep.
It's lucky to fucking get it. You know what? I'm sitting there and I'm watching the Albertus MT text with the orange color, giving me that John Carpenter vibe. And then they gave us the 1978 flashback, which gave us a little bit more of how Michael was apprehended. I thought that was great. Bringing Loomis back, you got points for that. But you know what? At the end of that sequence, I was hooked. And at that point, if it would have stayed there, I probably would have been with Eugene, giving it about a 7 or 8. But as the rest of the movie went, it went from 7 to 6 to 5 to 4, and it just fucking went all the way down to a 1. There's almost no saving graces from the first 10 minutes to the end of the film. And it's a fucking travesty.
Yep.
They're going to bring back Tommy Doyle, the nurse from the first movie, Lindsay.
Marion Chambers.
Lindsay.
They're going to give us
Sheriff Brackett.
They're going to give us Dr. Loomis. They're going to give us all that and fucking completely wasted on crap.
Yep.
Everybody in this room is disappointed.
Just because your intentions are good doesn't mean things always work out.
My friends, you know we keep it real here on this show. We shill for nobody, not for Michael Myers, not for Jamie Lee Curtis. We call it as we see it, and this Halloween Kills, in our opinion, is almost complete trash. There are some good moments. We like the ramped up violence. Michael Myers looks great with that half-charred mask. The gore was great when the camera was nice enough to stick around for the kill. Recreating Donald Pleasance so Loomis could have a cameo, expanding on the original Halloween evening in 78, the film opened strong. We were hopeful. We wanted to like this, but then came 90 minutes of stupidity, nonsensical, preachy bullshit, horrible writing, ridiculous characters making the dumbest moves. It really is a shame. We know we're going to ruffle a few feathers with this review, but we're hoping the majority of you are in our corner on this one. And we still have one more of these to go as well. Big shout out to our supporting patrons who help keep this show alive. For the world famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B, and my wife, the lovely Nude. This is Cash Wampum wishing you a happy Halloween and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you. And we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101. Educating your fears. This is my message to Eugene. We hated it. Your score of 8 out of 10 is suspect. You're making a mention in the show. We will kill you.